think advertising on TikTok isn't for your business? Think again.
We've generated over 100,000 leads, which has converted into over 40,000 sales for our pet insurance policies. My name is Trey Farrow. I am the CEO of Spot Pet Insurance. TikTok's Smart Plus AI-powered automation takes the guesswork out of targeting, bidding, and optimizing creative. If I can advertise on TikTok, you can too.
Drive more leads and scale your business today, only on TikTok. Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads.
O'Reilly. Check engine, ABS, or maintenance light on? Take the guesswork out of your warning lights with O'Reilly Veriscan. The service is free and provides a report with solutions verified by ASE-certified master technicians. And if you need help, we could recommend a shop for you. Ask for O'Reilly Veriscan today.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.
141-951-1025. It's time to talk football. It's Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Good evening and welcome to Clyde One Super Scoreboard as we look back on a huge weekend across Scottish football. Celtic aren't quite champions yet. They did sweep Kilmarnock aside, but that last minute equaliser for Rangers at Aberdeen means the wait goes on. The lineup for the top and bottom six is complete though, with St Mirren getting in for a third consecutive season at the expense of Hearts and Motherwell. And the fixtures for the post-split games are out indeed. Celtic could win it away to Dundee United, and if they don't, it would roll on to Ibrox at the start of May. I'm Gordon Duncan, and joining me tonight you have Marvin Bartley and Hugh Keevans.
This season is approaching fever pitch, and the rest of it is going to be scintillating. Now, you may never hear again in the same sentence Yanis Hadji and Rory McIlroy, but yesterday, from Aberdeen to Augusta, from a last-second goal for Rangers to a first-round playoff for Rory McIlroy, they showed us the drama of sport, why we are all in love with whether it's football or golf or whatever. At the highest level, that was scintillating yesterday, and I look forward to more to come. And as you rightly say, Gordon, if Celtic don't win it at Dundee United, then it rolls on to Ibrox. Is this wise?
This guy's been working on that all night. Look at him drawing the parallels. He's just a man at the top of his craft. Anyway, Marvin Bartley, good to see you on a Monday night. You're here because Andy Halliday got concussed. One of you is here because Andy Halliday got concussed at the weekend, right? So that is the occupational hazard of being part footballer, part pundit. But what's happening?
Yeah, so much happened. Like you said, I had the pleasure of spending Saturday in here. You know, Hearts missing out, Motherwell missing out, but you know what a day it was for St Mirren, and thoroughly deserved as well. As we said on Saturday, you know, can't give enough respect and credit to Steve Robinson and the staff, and also his players. The club going in the right direction, definitely. And then I had the pleasure of watching Hibs yesterday as well. You know, go to a 4-0 win, absolutely fantastic for David Gray and the players. You know, the fans were buoyant as you expect. And now we've got the post-split games as well.
Come on then, 01419511025. What is on your mind tonight? If we're talking just purely on the field and at the weekend, what did you make of Pittodrie yesterday, Rangers fans? There were 9 changes made to the team, so that tells you that Bilbao was clearly the priority. But then once it starts, you get caught up in it. You don't want to go 2-0 down again. Where is that going wrong? What did you make of the reserve cast then? Did any of them take their chance? Who took their chance? Who do you think you could see more of? Were there any that definitely didn't take their chance and didn't impress you? Let us know. 01419511025. How does it set things up for Bilbao? Celtic fans, you can now win the title away to Dundee United in the first post-split game. And if you don't, it would then be on to Ibrox in the second post-split fixture. So how are you feeling about things? Brendan Rodgers wanted a response, a reaction. How much did he get that? We were in here on Saturday thinking double figures was on at one point. It obviously didn't quite pan out that way. But how was that response for you? Specifically, one or two players grabbing the headlines. What about Greg Taylor then? Brendan Rodgers could not have been more complimentary at full time. He was given the man of the match in the stadium. Is it still the end of the road as far as you see it, or would you go out your way to try and keep Greg Taylor as part of an all Scottish left back cast with Kieran Tierney next season? Yes or no? Give us a call, please. 01419511025. 102.5. St Mirren fans, come on. Three seasons in a row, the top six. Congratulations. All credit to you. How big is that achievement? Because doing it once is obviously hard, and to repeat it two and three times, how big is this achievement? How does this one compare? And on the flip side of that, Hearts fans, a club of your size, of your means, of your resource, of your expectation, can you really accept finishing in the bottom half of that table? Let us know. 01419511025. And if we run out of talking points, Hugh has memorised every single post-split fixture and he will rhyme them off from start to finish.
Exactly.
All happening, isn't it?
Yeah, it's been a terrific weekend. As I say, the drama of sport, you know, that Rangers are going to lose 2-1. Cyril Dessers hits the post and you think, well, that's that then. And the ball is played to Yanis Hadji and he scores a quite magnificent goal. Then we have Roland Eduwo the day before, comes on after 81 minutes for St Mirren. 5 minutes later, he scores the goal that puts them into the top six. And that's before we get to Rory. So that's what big time sport is all about. And the weekend gave us that in abundance.
Right, give us a call right now if you can. Pittodrie yesterday, what did you make of it? There was so much happening there. So what was the main takeaway? What about Celtic Park, the performance, the standard of goal, the Greg Taylor situation and so on? Hearts fans, how do you feel after that weekend? Similar St Mirren fans, it's all happening. So give us a call please on 01419511025 to set the tone, to whet your appetite, call it what you will. What was your result of the weekend? I think there's an obvious one for
somebody. I'm going to pick up where Marv left off and say it's St Mirren 3, Ross County 2. I just think the kind of season that St Mirren have had on and off the park, I think that merits being singled out for praise.
Yep, I've gone for Hibs.
Oh, shock.
A 4-0 victory yesterday against Dundee, some top quality goals within it, but you know, equaling that record that's stood for over 70 years, a magnificent effort from those players. Like we said, I think it was the 9th of November, bottom of the league, now find themselves in third place, and you know, the last game before the split begins, they get a 4-0 comfortable home win.
Okay, goal of the weekend. I thought you had some good choices.
Oh, yeah, but none better than Reo Hatate for Celtic, I think. Celtic did score 5 in total, but it was Reo Hatate who lit up Celtic Park, who ignited that performance that Celtic got in the end. And you know, after 24 minutes, it's 4-0. But it all stemmed from Reo Hatate's goal.
And I'll be staying at Celtic Park as well. Cameron Carter-Vickers for me, that was the goal of the weekend. Just because it was so unexpected. I don't think you'll mind me saying at all, nobody expects him to step forward and potentially shoot, maybe, but not to put it in the top corner the way he did. So for me, just being a centre-half, seeing him do that, he gets goal of the weekend for me.
Go on then, let's bring it down a notch. Let's go more negative. Who is the howler of the weekend?
I delivered a collective award to Heart of Midlothian Football Club, who somehow contrived to win only one of their last six matches. With a budget of their size, they then go and they have to beat Motherwell, which they failed to do, and they have to hold off St Mirren, which they failed to do. If they do not win the Scottish Cup, and I mean win the Scottish Cup, and thereby qualify for Europe, it's been a horrible season for Neil Critchley. And
even a cup final wouldn't do it for you?
If he won the cup, then yes.
Not just getting there?
Nah. Anyone can get there and lose.
He's a hard man to please.
He definitely
is. Who's your howler of the weekend?
Keeping the same theme as giving it to a team, Aberdeen. I think, you know, when you face a Rangers team that's made 9 changes, they then you go 2-0 up, they then go down to 10 men, and somehow you manage to lose 2 points. You know, the last kick of the game has to be Aberdeen. Some strange substitutions made within that game as well. I think their fans are highly frustrated. Graham Shinnie was frustrated after. I'm sure we'll speak about later on in the show. But yeah, Aberdeen as a team, I think they feel they've really let themselves down. If you'd offered them 10 men Rangers, a team that made 9 changes, and to be 2-0 up, you know, they thought they were home with 3 points, but they definitely weren't.
And finally, top man, top performer of the weekend.
He comes from Northern Ireland, but it's not Rory. It's Stephen Robinson. He said it's the moment of his career to keep St Mirren in the top six. And who am I to doubt him? Stephen Robinson.
I've gone with Greg Taylor. Not only because, you know, listen, we all know he has the physical ability to do what he did on Saturday. But we spoke about, you know, the Bayern Munich game when he dropped out of the team and how that would affect him mentally. I think he played a game after that. He didn't really look himself. But to bounce back, he's obviously been training well, obviously a top, top professional, but mentally he's engaged as well. Didn't probably think he would start another game for Celtic, but he has, and then he gets man of the match. So Greg Taylor, massive weekend for Celtic, but also a big one for him.
And that's just one of many talking points on offer for you tonight. Would you keep him? What's the contract situation like, etc.? Give us a call on 01419511025. Andy is going to kick things off. He's a Rangers fan. What did you make of yesterday then, Andy? A strange day all round.
Well, how you doing, guys? First of all, I know Barry keeps saying one game at a time, but obviously he's got his eye on till the night. And you could see a lot of the players hadn't hardly played together. You know, you could notice that. But to get a 2-2 draw, I'm quite happy with that. You know what I mean? I really was happy with it. But you could just see that. I mean, I'm absolutely buzzing for Thursday night. I mean, honestly.
I was really fascinated about, though. It shows you how... Andy's right. 9 changes. Yeah. Obviously, that means Thursday was the priority. But then once you're 2-0 down, the old sort of instincts kick in where you think, right, hold on. This now does become a bit important. It's counterproductive if you make those changes. Let's protect everything. And then Aberdeen beat you 4-0. You know, that's then like a crisis. So, you know, Diamande and Jeffrey went on at half time. Tavernier had to go on earlier anyway because of injury. Hadji come on and had the final say. So, yeah, clearly Barry Ferguson did prioritise.
Yeah.
But then there became a point where Rangers had to stay in the match.
I noticed that Athletic Bilbao made 9 changes when they played Rayo Vallecano yesterday. And they won 3-1 in the end. I think we have to be careful making a virtue out of Rangers going 2 behind for a start. Even though it has finished dramatically at Dundee where they won 3-2, at Kilmarnock where they won 4-2, at Pittodrie yesterday where they drew 2-2, you have to be careful of making a virtue out of that kind of thing. And remember, Andy, at the end of the day, as pleasing as it was for the Rangers fans not to hand the title to Celtic, and as terrific as Giannis Hadji's goal was, the 2-2 draw meant Rangers fell further behind Celtic in terms of the points gap. So, yep, they did well to get out of there with something.
Is that just gone though for you, Andy? Is it, you know, are you beyond that?
Well, we know the league's over and done, mate, you know what I mean? But as I say to Bruce, if we can produce our away European form, I really think we can do it. I mean, I was at Ibrox last week, and the atmosphere was absolutely amazing. So I just think Rangers away from home. Yeah, we're going to have to have, hopefully everybody's fit. We'll just need to wait and see who's fit. But I really think we can do it.
I think you can too. I think Rangers will win in Bilbao. But as I say, you have to be careful when it comes to making a virtue out of always going 2 behind.
What did you make of it yesterday, Marvin? It reminds me of that general picture where we talk about games being a free hit, and then they are until they go really badly, and then they become not. It kind of seemed like that's what it was within the game for Rangers yesterday, and of course did well to find the equaliser with 10 men.
Yeah, listen, firstly, I think Barry Ferguson did the right thing. I think anyone who says he did the wrong thing in terms of making those 9 changes has an ulterior motive but behind it. He had to do it. You know, everything, as Hugh's saying there, is about Thursday, and Andy's saying as well on the phone. That is the massive game for Rangers. You know, Sunday against Aberdeen wasn't. But like you said there, you know, as a manager and you're standing there and all of a sudden you're 2-0 down, you've got 10 men, you have to change something. Because like you said, if it then goes 3 or 4, it becomes embarrassing. You know, the fans who are in agreement with you at the start for making the 9 changes, all of a sudden, you know, their way towards looking at it changes. He made the right things as well, the right substitutions, because they could go on to draw the game 2-2. But yeah, you're definitely right, Gordon. He didn't want it to run away with them. And he would have been, listen, he wouldn't come out in public and say, but he would have been delighted in the end to go away with the point.
Is it a completely sort of meaningless, sound strong? Is it meaningless, Andy, or are there concerns in there, whether that is, you know, Danilo or Cortez, you know, the guys that were hooked at halftime, maybe guys that went in to get a chance but didn't really take it? Were there any of those?
True enough. You can see, I mean, I say that you can see they hadn't played together, you know, so, all right, it's a 1-1 game. Maybe if they got more games together and played together more, they might improve. But no, definitely, I think that was their second 11. Most of the players, anyway, I'd say was their second 11.
Yeah, I've got a bit of sympathy, Marvin, when any player has to get into any team and then hit the ground running and act like you've always, you know, you've always been involved. And as Andy quite rightly says, you're maybe trying to form relationships with people that you don't have.
Yeah.
However, as a fringe player, you do, you just need to take those chances. And I think it's probably safe to say Barry Ferguson wasn't impressed with bits of what he, what he saw.
Yeah, I'm not surprised that he wasn't impressed. Like you said there, Gordon, you know, if you are a fringe player and you get that opportunity, you have to take it, regardless of the relationships and people, you know, giving that excuse that, oh, you haven't played a lot with him or him. It doesn't make any difference. You know, you're going out there, you're playing for Rangers Football Club. You have to give more than what some of those players gave yesterday. And like you said, those players were knocking on his door as well. And then all of a sudden, you know, they're not taking their opportunity. That's now down to them. I always said, you know, when I was a player or went into management, you know, as a player, I always had to say, if I was dropped from a game, it was because of the manager's choice rather than I've given him a reason for dropping me. There's not a single player that was out there for me, especially on some of the first half performances, that can knock Barry Ferguson's door again.
Any complaints about the red card, Andy?
No. Maybe the first one was a bit, maybe a wee bit soft, but the second one was definitely a red card. The boys, Barry Ferguson said as well, he's going up to learn. But I thought the first one, maybe, no, it was that early in the game, the referee mate, I've just said, right, Eddie Mayer, but the same one, definitely.
I think Barry Ferguson himself acknowledged that he had no problem with it and had spoken to Ross McCausland. The one that intrigued me was Nisbet's goal being chopped off, because for the life of me, I can't see where the handball is.
Oh, no, it hits his arm.
Yeah.
And it's just that, it's that old quirk of the rules where if it hits his arm like that, and it falls to another Aberdeen player and they score, that goal stands. But because he's the one that, that puts it in. Similarly, if he handballs it like that in his own box, it won't be given as a penalty. It's just, it's you know what they say about rules sometimes.
Yeah, the only other observation I would make, I thought Egerman played himself straight in to the starting 11 in Bilbao.
Did you?
Oh yeah. The way he took his goal, I do know it was his first goal in 15 or 16 games. However, he looks to me like the guy that could be the sharpest tool in the box for the Basque country.
He had the bit between his teeth, though, didn't he? You know, he was one of the players that came in.
Just quickly, because they'll be all over him for airbrushing his goal against Celtic out of it. I think it was his second in that
second
run.
Second in that run, yeah.
You've forgotten about that one?
Of course.
It was quite well documented at the time.
I vaguely recall it, yeah.
Again, would that be another one, Marvin? Isn't it... Like we said, like Rangers just wanted to just get out of this and move on and go to Thursday. That was Andy's take. But if you're Ross McCausland and you're trying to come in and make an impact, I mean, it was not job done on that front.
No, it wasn't. Listen, the second booking was, you know, it was a massive mistake from a young player. It really, really was. You know, I don't know what was going through his head at that moment in time when he slides in. It's such a difficult tackle to make. And, you know, as soon as an Aberdeen player gets a touch on it, you know, you're going to go into him. It's going to be a second booking. So as Barry Ferguson says, he has to learn. It felt like a couple of players out there felt they were better than playing within that, you know, that nine changed Rangers team. That's the way their attitudes came across. And
who concerned you in particular?
I hate to pick out players, but Danilo was one for me. I just didn't think he had the appetite to be out there and really want to take his opportunity. You know, some people could label it Ross McCausland being a young boy as well, making that. It's mean you've been given an opportunity to play for Rangers first team and you go out there and make that as your second book. And, you know, for me, it's unacceptable.
When, Danilo, he's a £5 million player, Marvin. £5 million.
Yeah. You know, a massive, massive transfer fee's been paid for him. And listen, I know at times he's been upset, but I think we saw in one of the European games, he thought he was coming on, didn't come on. He hits the bench. This was his opportunity to go out there and prove a point. You know, this is why I should be playing. And he couldn't have done anything further from doing that.
Okay. Let's hear a bit from Barry Ferguson on the game. He says they did go to Aberdeen to win, but is content with a point in the end.
I wanted to give some players the opportunity. It wasn't a case of coming up here and this was a dead game. It wasn't a dead game in my mind. You're coming up to Aberdeen, remember? You know what it's like up here. I was coming up here to win. And unfortunately, didn't get that 3 points. Overall, I'm never really happy drawing a game, but under the circumstances, we've got to go back down the road pretty pleased. I questioned the character and the desire. We all know what happened on the Monday. Certainly, the last two games, they've showed that they've certainly got that.
Thanks to Andy, 01419511025. It's a great time to call. If you want to add to that discussion, you can do. There's a lot still to get through. What about Celtic Park on Saturday and the goals and Greg Taylor's situation? There's all manner of discussion points coming out of that one. And absolutely determined to go through the old top six, bottom six fallout from the weekend before we leave you tonight. So give us a call and we'll speak next.
number one for football in Glasgow and the West. 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Hugh Keevans and Marvin Bartley are here. It's 0141 951 1025. We are on Twitter as well, at Clyde SSB, if you want to get in touch. So much to get through. On a Monday, we always just look over the games at the weekend, but then they had ramifications, didn't they? You look at the split. We've got the post-split fixtures are out. Of course, Rangers have a big week in Europe. That's still to come. There's just a lot happening there. So give us a call, please. Celtic kicked the weekend off, a 5-1 win against Kilmarnock. It looked for a long time yesterday like it would be the weekend that Celtic clinched the title. But of course, Yanis Hadji had other ideas with that late equaliser. Let's hear a bit from Brendan Rodgers on Greg Taylor, who he said was amazing on Saturday. You should all know the backstory. His contract's up. Brendan Rodgers says he thinks he'll leave. Hadn't played a lot of football, but then he started, and this is what the manager had to say about him.
He was amazing. He was absolutely brilliant. You know, it's, I thought last week we were too mechanical, and that's not what this team is. You know, we're about many different lines on the pitch, mobility, quality, and he coming into the team gave us all of that. Because when you're man-marking game, he drags the young guy Armstrong in, and that creates the space on the outside. One of your centre-halves is free, then you can go and progress the game. And then he makes a second action to combine. So I thought he was absolutely brilliant and played the role like you should play it.
Scott is on the line. What are you thinking, Scott, about Greg Taylor's future?
How you doing, Gordon? All right?
Good,
How are you? Keep him 100%. You know, Tierney coming back, you're always needing two good players for every position. But as far as I'm led to believe, the contract's there. It's him that's no signing it. I don't know if that's true or not, but I would keep him 1,000,000%. You know, but he played well on Saturday. I'll give him that. Sometimes he has been seen, let's just say, Flandern, but, you know, every player's like that. But I would keep him 100%. 100%.
Anything change at the weekend? Look, Scott's brought a bit of, you know, sense to the debate as well. If there's a contract there and Greg Taylor doesn't want to sign, we don't know mm-hmm. that bit of it, you know. No. And we don't know what the offer is, and we don't know how he feels personally and all that sort of stuff. But just in a general sense,
you'd like to think that
it doesn't sound like Brendan Rodgers has totally given up on it.
No, he said he never does give up on players until the very, very end. You would like to think that if Brendan Rodgers knew that Greg Taylor had told the club that he was definitely moving on, then Brendan Rodgers might as well put it in the public domain now. But that may not be the case. And if it is not the case, whatever efforts Celtic have made to keep Greg Taylor, I think they should increase those efforts. Because if you're talking about wanting to make Celtic better season by season, Greg Taylor makes you better. So fight for him.
I totally agree. I think you do everything within your powers to keep him. But if I'm looking at it from Greg Taylor's point of view, if that was me, I would be moving on. And the reason I say that is because Kieran Tierney's coming in the door. And for me, Kieran Tierney is going to be the number one left back there. I know some people speak about his injuries and everything else, and he won't be able to play every game. But I think at Greg Taylor's age, he wants to be playing week in, week out. Now, I know that's not promised wherever you go, but you can also look at the competition that's in your position. Kieran Tierney coming back up the road, I think, is the only reason why you leave Celtic Football Club and sign elsewhere. And I get it, you know, from Scott's point of view, you know, from a Celtic fans' point of view, they want him to stay. And why would you not? Hugh's making, you know, great points for the reason to make him stay there as well, or want to keep him there rather. But I just don't think Greg Taylor will stay because he just wants to play first team football and, you know, be given an opportunity to do that.
What do you think, Scott? How would that work? Could you see them both, you know, sort of gone into that area? Are there enough games to spread the workload?
Well, I can definitely see both, you know, because it's a very long, it's a long season, especially, you know, to be the Champions League and everything else, being in Europe. It's a very long season. And obviously, you know, you've got Alistair Johnson on the other end, and the big man came in on Saturday and scored, and he's not getting a game all the time. So, you know, he's... And everybody's different, I know that, right, but...
I think it's because Greg Taylor's had that, he has been playing games though, Scott. I think that's the difference between him and Anthony Ralston. Ralston's never really been a mainstay within that Celtic team, so his role's not really changed regardless of who the right back's been. But from Greg Taylor's point of view, he's been the number one left back for you guys for a number of seasons, and when Tierney comes in, he goes to the number two left back. So you know, it's almost like he's going from being a starting player to then, you know, like a bit part player without being disrespectful.
But with all due respect, Marvin, who says 100% Kieran Tierney's going to be number one? Who says that?
Kieran Tierney. Otherwise, he wouldn't be coming back.
Well, you know what? Like, we all know what his injury presence is, right? What happens if he plays five games and gets an injury, then there's nobody there.
Well, that could happen to Greg Taylor or anybody else.
Anybody else, right, Hugh? Anybody else, but, you know, Tierney's...
Kieran Tierney can't come up and sign a contract which says, and I promise you faithfully, I won't get hurt.
No, but I think Scott's point is, you know, there's nothing to say, like, there's a guarantee that Kieran Tierney comes up, plays 40-50 games, and Greg Taylor doesn't play any.
Yeah. Well, I understand that, but I think I'm right in saying, Marvin, that wherever he goes, I don't think, and I'm not concerning myself with money here, because he'll be well looked after by Celtic and well looked after wherever he goes, but wherever he goes, it won't be Champions League football.
No, yeah, I agree. I don't think he'll be going to another Champions League team, but listen, you never know. You know, left-back's a specialist position. But you're right, Hugh. You know, there's no guarantees of that for Greg Taylor. But I just think, you know, to sit behind... I don't know what Scott's saying in terms of, you know, Tierney could come up here and get injured, but I just don't think from a player's point of view, you know, when you're looking at who's coming in the door, you think, right, they're not going to get injured. You think to yourself, they're actually going to stay fit, and if they're fit, they're going to play.
See, just more of a wider point, do you think there's so much debate about this? Because particularly in Celtic's case... Someone's going to produce a list of 10 players here to totally contradict this. It just feels like off the top of my head, nowadays it's not that common that a player is in, he's the mainstay, he's the first choice, but the contract just gently runs down and everyone shakes each other's hand and everybody's happy and then they move on. You know, Celtic either, it's like you sell or it's widely known that you know that you're not good enough sort of thing. Do you know what I mean? I feel like I can't remember too many examples of that.
No, I totally agree. I can't remember many examples of it either. And I think the difference with this one here is that I don't think, you know, going to the last year of Greg Taylor's contract that Celtic thought they can bring Kieran Tierney back. I think these talks have obviously, you know, gathered some sort of pace, and then all of a sudden they realise we can actually do this, and then they've managed to actually do it. And by that time, Greg Taylor's probably got 8 months left of his contract, 6 months left of his contract, when, you know, it's I think it's too late to do anything else. So, yeah, you're right there, Gordon. I can't remember it happened on many occasions.
Scott, what's your thoughts on, like, when you can win the league and where and all that stuff? Does it matter? Did you hope that Aberdeen won yesterday so that won you the league, or was that just funny because it would be your rivals losing? Did you not care? Explain this rivalry to me, or how it feels closing in the title.
Right, here we go. Here, I'm going. Gordon, hell of a question, mate. Anyway, no, yesterday, right, it was obviously, as a Celtic fan, you know, I honestly thought on Saturday that Aberdeen were going to beat Rangers, to be honest, but it never happened. So might be Dundee United. It would be absolutely amazing if we could do it at Ibrox. But that's just me having the green-tinted spectacles on, Gordon, right? But just to rub it in a wee bit of salt into the wounds. But it doesn't really matter. You know, 15 points ahead, does it really matter? No, it doesn't. You know, so what will be, and we're going to win the league anyway. So regardless if it's up at Dundee, regardless if it's at Ibrox, regardless of Parkhead, it's immaterial.
Lifetime Glaswegian, I'll give you my take on it. The Celtic supporters, I think, would have wanted Rangers to do what they did yesterday so that they could win the title for themselves. And the Rangers supporters would have been delighted with the draw, even though a fairly scrappy affair, because it means that Rangers didn't make Celtic champions by virtue of losing at Pittodrie. That's how it works, and that Brendan Rodgers was very keen to do it at Celtic Park for the fans. A little surprised that they come out with another away match, Dundee United, and I do think he might have avoided the risk of it going to Ibrox. A title decider at Ibrox, for me, is not a good idea.
Why not, though?
On anybody's part. Not good.
Why?
Not good for the city.
Why?
Because it leads to trouble.
Well, look, there's always going to be an element of that, and I wouldn't dream of, you know, sort of trivialising it, but there can be any sporting competition in the world where you actively seek to keep the two main protagonists in it apart at crunch time. Like that's ludicrous. That's absolutely ludicrous.
Yes. Except if it's this city.
But also, you've just said it yourself, though, you can't manufacturing, because it might happen. And it happened a couple of seasons ago. We did this and we went, we better keep those two apart. But then the result before doesn't go, and Celtic did win it at Ibrox a few seasons ago. And would you look at that? The world didn't burn down and we're fine and we're here to tell the tale. It was only a few years ago.
I think you should avoid the complication. But having said that, if Celtic go to Tannadice and win, the Celtic fans will be happy because they did it by dint of their own display. And there will be Celtic supporters there, not in such big numbers, but there will be Celtic supporters at Tannadice. And they would rather that, I think, than have won it by default yesterday because Rangers lost at Pittodrie.
It's probably a personal preference. Do you know what? As much as I slag him for speaking on behalf of people, that's probably about the... I think that is the safest explanation. But some people, maybe, just want it done as quickly as you can because then it looks better. If that, I don't know if that comes into it. You know, you've got it done before the split. Personal preference, I suspect.
Yeah, exactly. That going, you know, a group of people who I know or expect to have wanted to do it on the pitch themselves would have been the Celtic players. I think as a player, when you're going on to win a league title, I think they'd have actually been happy when Rangers equalised yesterday. So they can go out at Tannadice. We know that's where they're going and, you know, get the point for themselves and that's them over the line. They can celebrate with their fans. Again, I'm with Hugh. I'm surprised they do have an away game. But I just think as a player, when you've worked so hard all season, you know, trying to achieve something, yes, it will still feel, you know, fantastic for them to have done it yesterday if Rangers would have, you know, lost that game of football. But they'd much prefer to do it themselves and they now have the opportunity to do that.
Thank you, Scott. John's on the other line. What did you take away from Saturday then, John?
How are you doing, Gordon? How are you doing, Marvin?
Good.
How you doing, Shu?
Right, mate.
Just a quick one, Shu. Rangers beat Dundee 4-3, not 3-2. Just to clarify that, mate.
I can't even, what were we on about? Sorry.
Rangers going two down all the time.
Shoe was
sitting
at the top of the...
Ah, right. Okay.
I said 3-2, it was 4-3.
He stands corrected, John.
Aye. Anyway, I've got a couple of points anyway, if it's okay, Gordon.
Go for it.
Regarding Saturday, 4-0, I heard he's talking at the top of the show. I thought it was going to be a cricket score. I thought it was going to be double digits. I've said all along, double digits is coming. It can still come. But as I say to producer Jay, Celtic, Marvin, you being a player...
Mm-hmm.
Played at Libby, and I think you played in a couple of lower leagues as well.
Yeah.
So the team, my personal opinion, the team have not had a tune since the Leipzig game, Marvin. The 3, was it 3-1 it finished, or 3-2? 3-1, I think it was. They've won their games, but Rangers have been poor at home. And sure, you'll agree with me there. And Gordon, they've been very, very poor at home. Celtic have won games, some of them comfortably, some they've scraped through. But what do you think, Marvin? We need additions. But I'll come into the Greg Taylor talk that the boy was talking about just before me.
Mm.
If you can answer,
Marvin, this is us back to last week. We had this argument about you know, what are Celtic standard? I think John's right. He's a Celtic fan and pays his money. And if he wants more, he wants more. I wouldn't tell him different. But I keep saying it. I don't know where how high these standards can go.
Yeah, well, listen, in terms of what Celtic have done so far this season, you know, they're going to win the league, obviously, and they've won the League Cup and, you know, they've progressed in Europe. So for me, so far, it's a fantastic season. If they can then add the Scottish Cup to that, it gets even better. In terms of what you're talking about there, though, John, I think they always have to evolve. I think the manager and the board and everyone else is always looking to bring in players that can improve the squad. So it might not be, you know, you bring in someone that can go into starting 11 that's better than someone in the starting 11, but, you know, your 13th or 14th place player, you might be able to improve that player. And I think that's what Brendan Rodgers would be trying to do. I think to get somebody that comes into Celtic's first team now and is better than what you currently have, I think you have to spend a lot of money, you know, to do that. And I've spent money on Ida, they spent money on Trusty.
Or get a proper gem, which we've seen before.
Yeah, which is a lot harder to do, you know, to go out there and get a massive gem. And they have done it before. There's no doubt about it, Gordon. You're completely right. But yeah, listen, I think you always need to freshen things up. As a player, you know, there's nothing better when you go in for pre-season. There's, you know, two or three new players there. And you always want to see, like, what can they do? Are they better than what we've currently got? Are they better than me? And you then raise your standards. So, you know, I think Brendan's spoken about it. You always have to be, you know, freshening in the squad, and they need to do that again.
Brendan Rodgers has made it abundantly clear that he's meeting Dermot Desmond in the summer, and he's spoken about these talks being about his future. But he'll also be saying to Dermot Desmond, if the benchmark is going to be Europe from now on, then we need better than what we have at present. And I'm sorry, but... sometimes they make big mistakes in that department. Austin Trusty and Adam Eder cost £15 million. Neither is worthy of a game in the team.
It just feels like the balance, though, is so. As an example, this is the same discussion we had last week. Celtic then going blow Kilmarnock away 5-1, and I get that maybe they should and all that with the resources. That's fine, but then it's yeah, very good. And I know we're closer to the treble, but I'll tell you what, we've not been great recently. I just feels like. Sort of can enjoy what you've got. And I can't tell John that. He's a Celtic fan, he pays his money, I keep saying it, but I think there's a line that is quite hard to find for Celtic at the moment.
Yeah, because I think, you know, the bar is so high. When you see Celtic at their complete best, it is so high. You know, they play at such a fast tempo, at a great level. They're ruthless in front of goal, they defend extremely well, and then that almost becomes a norm, Gordon. You know, but the players aren't robots. There's always going to be a fall off in terms of what they do. But John, you know, you've hit the nail on the head. Good teams still win when they're not at their best. And, you know, Celtic sometimes come down a couple of gears. There's no doubt about it. You know, Brendan's spoken about it. You know, they haven't been great on the eye at times, but they still win these games of football. And that's a sign of a really, really good team. They're never, ever going to perform a 10 out of 10 week in, week out. It's just, it's impossible. There's not a squad of players, you know, that play football in any country that can do that. So, as you said, you know, sometimes you have to be grateful for what you do have. As fans, we always want more. Listen, I support a football club. I always want more for them as well. You support Celtic Football Club, you always want more. But it is very, very difficult, you know, to find players that are going to come into that starting 11 and, you know, 100% going to make you better.
Sorry, John, I didn't realise how late we were. I'll need to hit the travel, but we'll speak again soon. That was John in Port Glasgow, 141 951 1025, if you want to get your calls in, and plenty more time to discuss the weekend's talking points, look ahead to whatever else you want. If there's something else you think we've not mentioned and you want to get it off your chest, it is the same number as well. Let me tell you about this first. Easter Cash Countdown. Forget your Easter eggs, Hugh Keevans, because you don't like chocolate. So this prize is right up your street. You could be celebrating big time if you won the Easter Cash Countdown, because it's worth £525,000. Text YES to 61025. If you do that, you get 10 entries for the price of one text entry. Texts are £250 plus your standard network rate. You can enter on our website for £250 or call 03434 269 340. Calls charged at a standard rate as well. It is over 18s only. All the other rules for this Rail Network competition are on our website, and the lines close 5pm on Thursday when someone wins the lot. Text YES to 61025.
0141 951 1025. This is Scottish football's league leader, Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Marvin Bartley and Hugh Keevans are here, 0141 951 1025. Keep the calls coming in. We're looking back on the weekend's action, talking about post-split fixtures. Greg Taylor's had a bit of a mention. There is a lot going on, so give us a call please on 0141 951 1025. Let's hear a bit more from Brendan Rodgers. We heard from him before the break. He was proud of the response. He thought it was the perfect response after his comments last week, and praised their concentration and attitude.
Well, it's perfect. It's what we talked about in the week, about having that winning attitude, and you mix that with the talent, then that's the type of performances we produce. So yeah, as disappointed as I was last week, I'm so happy for the players and the team this week. And yeah, performance level was so high, especially in the first half. The connections, the speed in the game, the quality of the football, everything that is good about the Celtic team, that was it today. But it all comes from a big concentration and a big attitude in the game. Did you play against a team that man marks you as well? You've got to be able to have the flexibility and the movement to lose the individual markers, because it's a tough challenge. But we did that so well. Attacking connections, running, mobility, and obviously then the counter press, which we didn't concede so much. Second half, Derek makes changes, making them really hard to beat, but we still get in and maybe just miss the wee final bit of luck that you need. But some of our play outstanding, and obviously Tony gets the goal at the end and caps off a brilliant performance.
Now let's bring in Michael on the phones. How are you, Michael?
Hi, not bad, Robin. Yourself, how are you? Good evening. Marvin, how are you?
Yeah, mate.
Good. Good. Two points I want to make, Gordon. On the facts of today, obviously I spoke to your producer earlier. No happy about the two away games to start with. to be honest, it's the SPL or the back again. Again, his away fixtures. Why do they not put us at home first and then away from home to win the league at Parkhead first instead of away from home twice?
Well, I must admit, I don't know the specific answer, but what I would say is, I think it's easy to forget that it's part of a big web of different factors. So first of all, if you take, so it might even be because Celtic will have one televised home game post split, I would imagine. Mm-hmm. Right, that's right.
It would be on the last day of the season.
That's what I'm saying, against the Mirror, and that's trophy day.
Yeah.
So it's like, well, that one needs to be on TV because it's trophy day, and then you want that to be at home as well.
Yeah.
So you can lift the trophy in front of your own fans. So once you've got that in, once you start trying to balance up, obviously they were going to go to Ibrox, that would be on TV. You know, I think once you start unpicking it all, it's easy to go for one match day and say, oh, why can we not be at home that day, or why can we not be away that day? But it'll never match up. Like I say, one home game at Celtic Park left on the telly, I think, as if it's the old four visits per season. That's still they get the chance of maybe an extra one. You know, that's going to be trophy day. There's no perfect solution, basically.
No, I repeat, and it's a purely individual view. I don't like the prospect of Rangers playing Celtic with the league at stake. However, I'm perfectly certain that Brendan Rodgers believes that Celtic are good enough to win the league at Tannadice, and that is another way of looking at it. You win the league because of your home and away performances, and Celtic away from home have been outstanding. So go to Tannadice, you'll have thousands of fans there, and if you are the champions when you finish that match at Tannadice, then you go to Ibrox the following weekend as the champions. 13 of the last 14 seasons. League title number 55 to equal Rangers. All these things, I'm sure, are important to you, Michael.
Because that's the thing, Marvin. You've now got I couldn't put a percentage on an extremely high chance the Celtic will win the title live on TV because the next two games are away. And I know why Michael doesn't want that, because he wants it in front of the fans, but it does then allow them to be on TV. So you've got two cracks at winning the title.
I must admit, until I knew your explanation, or you explained it there, the reason for it, I was with Michael. No, why are they not at home? So it's a good job you're here, Gordon, because
I knew that it would come across that way. I'm not saying that is the hard, fast
reason.
No,
but it's a reason for it. It makes sense.
So many factors.
Yeah, yeah, 100%. So as I said, you know, when it came out, I was, you know, I looked at it and I thought, oh, why are they not at home? But, you know, that makes perfect sense. But like you said, they've got two opportunities now. They've got Dundee United, which will be on TV, and then they've got, you know, Rangers, which will be on TV. So in an ideal world, yes, it would have been at home, it would have been on television. But, you know, at the end of the day, they're going to go and win it. You know, the fans that managed to get a ticket for that away game at Tannadice, fantastic. And I'm sure, you know, when I get back to the stadium, the rest of the fans will join them there.
And if they win at Tannadice, then it gives Rangers the perfect opportunity to provide Celtic with a guard of honour.
This has come up so many seasons, hasn't it? And people always, it'll always be brought up in this show.
It's my favourite.
You do hate it, don't you?
It's my favourite predictable question. And of course, it won't happen. It shouldn't happen anyway. Mm-hmm. It's when clubs do the guard of honour thing, they don't mean it. They're told to do it.
Do you know what I think, Michael, as well? See the balance. I think actually the biggest reason of all, see when you think of the balance of the fixtures, Celtic have only got two home games left, yeah?
Aye, that's correct. Aye.
And St Mirren, yeah, that's what I'm saying. So one's gonna you want one of them to be the last day for trophy day. Mm-hmm. So otherwise, right. So what are you gonna do then? Put Celtic at home now, then away before. Do you know what I mean? That wouldn't fix it either.
I know, it's a catch 22 basically.
Yeah, well, that's an understand it. People want to win the league in front of their own fans, and as Hugh rightly said, whether it is right or not, the police would obviously have concerns about an actual title decider at Ibrox, but that could happen, Hugh, if Dundee United show up and win the game.
Yeah, but
oh, and by the way, that's assuming Rangers win.
Yeah,
their first place
against St Mirren away.
So what can happen?
You know, I believe that you win a league title for many reasons, and one of the strong points about Celtic, away form. So go ahead and show, apart from St Johnstone at Perth, of course, that was an oversight. But, you know, go there. Jim Goodman's team will put on a right good game, and go there and show how good a team you are away from home as well as at home. Come away down the road with the league trophy.
Thank you to Michael. I can't offer a league trophy. I can offer a signed ball if that's any use. Let's play this.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun. For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
Come on then, it's a new week on Beat the Pundit. It's a fresh opportunity to get the bragging rights in and that signed ball, but only if you call before 7 o'clock. 0141 951 1025. We'll speak to you next.
You are the voice of Scottish football. Call 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Marvin Bartley and Hugh Keevans are here. 0141 951 1025. We looked back on Pittodrie yesterday. What did you make of it, Rangers fans? It was clearly an experimental team. Were you happy just to kind of write it off and move on, or were there parts of the performance you didn't like? Were there players that didn't take their chance? Maybe there were some that did take their chance. Give us a call and let us know. We spoke about Celtic's win, convincing win against Kilmarnock on Saturday, and Greg Taylor's performance and his future. So if you want to keep those thoughts coming, please do. The post-split fixtures are out. Celtic can win the league away to Dundee United on Saturday the 26th of April. If they don't, it would roll on to Sunday the 4th of May when they head to Ibrox for the final Old Firm game of the season. So lots to look forward to there. And what about the split? Hearts fans, how bad is that to miss out on the top six? St Mirren fans, how good is it to get into the top six? Let us know right now, please, and we will play this first.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun. For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
Okay, Beat the Pundit time. Marvin, you're out to be best of the rest. Incredible. You're going to just try and consolidate in there because you couldn't catch Andy Halliday.
No, it's impossible. He doesn't lose
because he's got 100. Well, he's got 100% record.
This is a week in duo, isn't it?
Build. Hugh's just that kind of mid-table sort of bobbing around. You know, just that's fine. It's an okay place to be.
Better than Simon Donnelly.
Scott's in Belt Hill. How's it going, Scott?
Thank you. How are you?
Not bad, Scott. Who's your team?
Rangers.
What did you make of yesterday?
Mixed emotions. It was good to see him change the team about, but you still don't want to get beat at the end of the day.
Is that the classic, Scott? Is that why football fans are hypocrites deep down, where you can say before the game it doesn't matter, but then once you're 2-0 down, it really, really matters?
Oh, absolutely. I think I put it on Twitter. It's just a meaningless game, but then we went 2-0 down and all bets are off.
But you know that's going to happen and you can't stop yourself feeling that way. We'll maybe talk more about the game with Scott when we're done. Heads, Scott, you'll take on Hugh Keevans. Tails, it'll be Marvin Bartley. And it is Tails, Marvin Bartley, a man who turns up to do Super Scoreboard in Crocs.
You got a better than Hugh.
And shorts. I mean,
I don't mind that from time to time.
Straight from Peril, though, that's why.
Do you know the worst of it is? I caught him in the car park.
Doing what?
Oh, no, nothing like that. He actually changes into his Crocs to come in to do the show. So I took a sneaky video of him. I put it on Instagram to see what the listeners think, and he's getting quite a lot of criticism, which I'm pleased about. Do you know what's funny though?
What?
Have you seen the video that I took of you, sneak? Have you not?
No, this is the first I've known about it.
Wonderful camera work from me. So I like sneaked around the back of my own car.
Great vision from me.
It does. You might need to protest here to the bosses who are watching the video. It looks like you've reversed into one of the bollards in the car park out there.
Really?
I'm not saying you have or you haven't. All I'm saying is your car is here, and then there is a bollard down.
Do you know the worst thing is?
Behind you.
I didn't even know there was a bollard there. But no, I've got like, it would have stopped. You sure? I would have stopped, yeah.
You are the dodgem.
Yeah, maybe I just lent on it.
I thought Crocs were injuries.
Sort of. Right, anyway, we're going to give Marvin something else to listen to, Scott. You've got 30 seconds. Just answer as many as you can and pass if you don't know the answer, okay?
No problem.
Top man, you've got 30 seconds then. It's going on the clock and your time starts now. Which English side did Paul Hartley leave Celtic for?
I'll pass.
How many years have St Mirren consecutively made it to the top six?
Three.
Which Rangers manager's got a bigger win percentage, Barry Ferguson or Pedro Caixinha?
Pedro Caixinha.
Which team clinched the League One title on Saturday?
I'll pass.
Who's second in the Championship at the moment?
Ayr United.
After the split was announced, Celtic can win the league in their next fixture against which team?
Dundee United.
Okay, let's bring him back. Marvin Bartley, are good you tunes. Ready?
Yep.
What were you listening to?
Bill Withers, A Lovely Day.
Ah, okay, wasn't one of them. What about, like, serious? No, I was going to moan about the weather, but that's really scraping
that's
the barrel.
That's what I would do.
Scraping the barrel of the radio discussion. Yeah. But seriously, last week you nearly were in here in your shorts.
Well,
and
close.
Last night at hailstones battering off the window. So I'm going to explain that to me. Anyway, Marvin, are you ready?
Yep.
30 seconds on the clock, and your time starts now. Which English side did Paul Hartley leave Celtic for?
West Brom.
How many years have St Mirren consecutively made the top six?
Three.
Which Rangers manager has the bigger win percentage, Barry Ferguson or Pedro Caixinha?
Barry Ferguson.
Which team clinched the League One title on Saturday?
Arbroath.
Who currently sits second in the Scottish Championship?
Livingston.
After the split was announced, Celtic can win the league in their next game against which opponent?
Dundee United.
How many goals were scored in the Premiership over the weekend? 18 or 20? Quickly.
20.
Okay. Scott, what do you think?
Well, I think you've done me there.
Oh, it's never a good feeling, that.
I'd like to hear that, though. That's a real positive for me.
I think, you know, at the end of the season, boys clubs and amateur teams up and down the country, the award you want to avoid is most improved player. I think that's you. I think that could be you on Beat the Pundit this season. Most improved.
Well, I'll take it.
Does it mean you're good? Does it mean you were rotten before? Which English side did Paul Hartley leave Celtic for?
No.
Bristol City.
Oh.
Yeah. None of you got it. So how many years have St Mirren consecutively made the top six? It is three. You both got it. The bigger win percentage out of Barry Ferguson and Pedro Caixinha is Pedro Caixinha. Scott goes in front. Barry Ferguson's is at 44 and Pedro's 53. So Scott's in front. However, a quick equaliser from Marvin Bartley. Arbroath clinched the League One title on Saturday, the first team in the SPFL to do so. Well done to them all. Congratulations. Is that a level game?
Yeah.
Who sits second in the Championship? It is Livingston. I should have taken that question out, Scott. He was bound to know it being a Livingston man. He goes one in front. You both knew Celtic play Dundee United next. And I'm afraid Scott was out of time, and were 20 goals at the weekend. Is that a guess?
Yeah.
Obviously. Just a guess. 5-3, Scott, I'm afraid. He is in good form this season. Don't know what's happened to him.
Doing well.
Well done, man.
Well done, buddy. Good game. You'd have beaten Hugh, but just facing me was a difficult one.
Don't push your luck.
I like Scott, though. I like the sound of him. Let's talk a bit more about your team at the moment then, Scott. So you said yesterday you were fine with the team until you went 2-0 down, and then you cared a bit. Was there, were you annoyed then at some of the performances in the first half?
Not really annoyed as such. Expected. But our first team would have struggled to beat Aberdeen most weeks. So to expect the second team to go and beat them as well is...
Yeah, funny that, Hugh. Gordon Dale's always big on this. He just thinks that actually Rangers and Celtic, but Rangers actually should be able to put a kind of second string out and going. Yeah. And I suppose though, in a way they did, because they got a draw and they were down to 10 men. So in the end up fine, but you just wonder. And this is where Barry Ferguson's in such a tough spot, because if we're all saying, oh well, you know, maybe this proves that Danilo is not the future, or Cortez is not the future, or just whoever. Yeah. Might not be Barry Ferguson's concern anyway.
Correct.
So
I think he did the right thing. He prioritised Bilbao over Aberdeen, and he was correct to do so. I thought Aberdeen first half, going in 2-0 up, 11 men playing 10 after Ross McCausland's red card, I thought they would go on from there. But I thought Aberdeen's second half were very poor. I thought Jimmy Tilleen's game management was very poor. I couldn't understand the substitutions that he made, taking off Keskinen and Morris, who were the two best players, and they just went from bad to worse. And I thought Rangers merited their 2-2 draw in the end. And I have no idea. Barry Ferguson described it as handbags. I've no idea what all the pushing and shoving was about by Graham Shinney, the Aberdeen captain, because in the end, they contributed to their own semi-downfall insofar as the game was a draw. So I've no idea what they're all pushing and shoving and heckling about, because Rangers 10 men deserve to get that second half draw.
Well, this was Barry Ferguson's explanation. Handbags, as Hugh Keevans quite rightly says.
No, I was just saying to Big Suits, just leave it, it's pointless. so it was a bit of handbags. You know what it's like, it's a bit feisty after a game. I don't mind a bit of feisty things going on, but I just sort of told Big John just to leave it. What's the point in getting involved with him? And the big man just stepped away and that's it. But I have no issues with that. People are passionate. I like to see a bit of passion. I think that's something that's missing in the modern game at times.
He told John Souter to move out the road and then he gave Shinny a bit himself.
Yeah, I think that's what he's told to get out of the way. Let me take this over.
Take part. Big week though coming up, Scott. So you think that was the right thing then, sort of rest players, leave players out ahead of Thursday?
Yeah, absolutely. I think everybody knows the biggest game's on Thursday against Bilbao, but you've got to go there fully rested, fully expecting to dig in and get something.
Anything you thought at the weekend you might take forward? Because, you know, it's easy to focus on the negatives of Ross McCausland or Danilo or Cortez. What about Iggeman?
Iggeman's probably the better striker we've got this season. But then it's not a high bar to...
But he is worthy of his place, I think. I mean,
I think so.
The way he took his goal yesterday and... You know, right at the end, and it's not having a go at Dessers because his numbers are reasonably good. But when that chance presented itself to make it 2-2, he hit the post. And then Hadji's finish was sublime. I just think that Iggeman holds up the ball well, and with his goal scoring touch, his predatory instincts, I think he's the best bet for Bilbao on Thursday.
Well, we can see, we can debate that throughout the rest of the week. Thank you to Scott, who was unfortunately defeated by Marvin on Beat the Pundit. Right.
Unfortunately?
Yeah.
No, I'm delighted.
Always team listener. Team listener all day long. Right. It was a huge weekend because it was the final round of pre-split fixtures, where obviously we confirmed who would be in the top six and the bottom six. And the biggest story going into it was between Hearts, St Mirren and Motherwell. All three had a chance of getting there. Hearts were in the driving seat. They are also obviously the bigger of those clubs, the richer of those clubs, etc. So with their failure to drop out comes quite a fallout. Let's bring in Liam, who is a Hearts fan from the This Is My Story podcast. Liam, how big a failure or a disappointment is that for Hearts to miss out?
Yeah, that's an embarrassment is what it is for Hearts, but if we're being honest, Hearts don't deserve it. Hearts have been rotten all season. We've got our neighbours to mirror ourselves against. When James Wilson scored in the Edinburgh Derby in the 86th minute, that made it 1-1, that goal put Hibernian in bottom of the league on goal difference. And look at the contrasting seasons that we've had. So to try and wipe it off as, oh, Neil Critchley came in and he's not had time. He's had three quarters of a season and hasn't been able to put his finger on anything that's worked or looked like anything, like bringing anything consistent to Hearts. So Hearts didn't deserve to finish in the top six. It was in our own hands last week. You know, you got a home game against Dundee United where you win it, you sneak in the back door, then you're in the conversation for potentially sneaking a European spot. And I know we still potentially have that, but let's be honest, we're not fully confident for Saturday. And then you get past Aberdeen, you're most likely going to play treble hunting Celtic at Hampden. I don't think Brendan Rodgers has lost the Scottish Cup game. So it's a big, big ask to do there. So it's an embarrassment. You just touched on it there. The amount of money that this football club has, it is borderline negligent how poor Hearts have been for the past 11 years. Yes, we've had some highs, but our lows are as equally as low as they are high. Yeah, we've had three seasons in Europe. And now here we're bottom six points away from the relegation playoff spot. We're now looking to say, well, actually, if we lose on Saturday, the season's over, but we've got to win a game. We've got to win at least to try and get ourselves out of that conversation. Yeah, I've spoke to you at length about season ticket numbers and money, the Foundation of Hearts, the amount of money that's ploughed into there, the amount of season ticket money. It's incredible that Hearts even found themselves in that situation.
Is that why this one stings a bit more? Because if we're being honest, all the so-called big clubs, they've had their moments at missing out on the top six, and it's never ideal. But this is supposed to be quite a good version of Hearts, if you like. You know, they got the guaranteed group stage football. It's worth like £6 million or whatever it is. Jamestown Analytics are in, even though it's early days. Last season, you've got the best player in Scotland as voted for by his peers. He's the top scorer in Scotland. You've got the Scotland goalkeeper. You know, this isn't it's unexpected, basically, if you look at the start, the people's pre-season expectations. Hearts were not meant to be here.
Yeah, that's the biggest disappointment. Is I've followed Hearts my whole life, and I've been through turbulence almost every single year with Chris Robinson and selling Tynecastle and Vladimir Romanov and administration. These are the calmest seas Hearts have ever found themselves in, and they cannot get anything remotely right on the football pitch. Aberdeen under Derek McInnes, I think about 9 years consistently playing in Europe. Hearts are yo-yo every single 18 months. I think Neil Critchley was the 7th manager in 11 years. If he loses on Saturday, we'll be looking for our 8th for the summer. It's incredible when you actually boil it down and you look at the, like we said, something like, what, £18 million Hearts fans themselves have handed over to the club in just pledges for the Foundation of Hearts. You look at season ticket sales, we've sold out of season tickets, 15,500 season tickets every single season for the last like 7 or 8 years. It's something like £70 million in those 11 years. Think of that money in the hands of a Derek McInnes or even like David Martindale at Livingston and the things that he does there, Stephen Robinson at St Mirren and the miracles that he works on shoestring budgets. And this is what we produce, bottom six dross, with a manager whose achievements could be wrote on a fiver.
Liam, so, Liam,
I don't think Liam's happy, Hugh.
No, no.
Just a gut Liam, feeling I'm getting.
Time up on Saturday, we listened on this programme to sustained abuse from the 2,000 plus Hearts fans who had travelled to Fir Park.
He was one of them. It was him you could hear.
Is it that clear cut, Liam? If Neil Critchley does not win the semi-final against Aberdeen, his number's up.
That has to be. It has to be. Like I said before, this is supposed to be the dawn of a new era with Jamestown Analytics. He was supposed to be a Jamestown Analytics pick. That's turned out that actually, potentially not, he's come from Graham Jones, the guy that was the physio at the SFA that we've made the head of football at Hearts. Tony Bloom in the horizon, the potential investment in the summer. This was supposed to be the dawn of something amazing coming up, and you're supposed to be going into pre-season full of optimism. Now that could still happen if Hearts pull off a miracle and win the Scottish Cup like we said, but I think if we're all being honest, that's a very, very tough ask. Although Aberdeen I don't think are great, I don't see anything. If you were at the game on Saturday, Hearts were absolutely abysmal. There is going to have to be a huge upturn in form on Saturday for us just to make the final, and then to go on and, like we said, beat the champions like Celtic, who are light years above everybody in the league, is a big, big ask.
What would have happened if Lauren Shanklin had taken that last gasp chance and that Hearts had gone in top six? Would you still be of the same mind?
Me personally, yeah. I've been on this show before. I think I came on when we appointed Critchley to say that I was disappointed with the appointment. It was very underwhelming given the sound bites from the club and where we've been to where we are. It's simply not good enough. We've not had a big enough upturn in form. No wins versus Celtic, no wins versus Rangers, no wins versus Aberdeen, no wins versus Hibs. We haven't won any game that matter, and Saturday was another example of that. It was a big game, just like the Dundee United game, just like the Petro Cub game. You beat Petro Cub part-time Moldovians and you're into the knockout stages of the Conference League, something that Hearts would only have dreamed about. Could have actually balanced the books for the big hole in the books that's going to come next year because of the other revenue that would have came from that. He's lost every single one of them, and the team, they just don't look coherent. It changes week in, week out. There's never a consistent starting 11. The formation changes, the tactic changes. And you watch that game on Saturday, and I ask myself, how is that any different from what we watched under Stephen Naismith?
Marvin,
had an amazing season, do you know what I mean?
As a Hibs fan, Marvin, here's a question for you. If I was to offer you third right now, guaranteed third, but Hearts win the Scottish Cup...
Definitely not. Definitely not.
Just wondering. Are you sure?
Yeah, 100%. Sorry, Liam. Definitely not. Just because finishing third means nothing as well, because they take the European place. But yeah, even if without that, okay, definitely not.
All right. Well, never mind. Thank you very much to Liam. I thought that was an excellent insight, just the kind of raw emotion that's coming out from the Hearts fans at the moment. Really good stuff. Don't worry, though. It's not all like a therapy helpline, because we'll do the St Mirren side of things when we return.
Taking your calls calls on Scottish football. 0141 951 1025. This is Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Hugh Keevans and Marvin Bartley are here. We're about to bask in St Mirren's top six triumph. So any St Mirren fans out there who want to join in, you can. Or keep reflecting on Pittodrie and Celtic Park over the weekend, whatever you fancy. Very quickly, I'm going to set up this question and move straight on to Mark because he's been hanging on for ages. Thanks to Paul and Cambus Lang who sent it in. After Rory McIlroy's Grand Slam win, won the four majors now, can you name the last six Northern Irishmen to have four or more caps and four or more appearances for either of the Old Firm? So it's a bit of a nod to the golf. It's not as confusing as it sounds, but of course Rory McIlroy has now won the four majors. So who were the last six Northern Irishmen to have four or more caps and have four or more appearances for either Old Firm side? I'll give you some thinking time whilst I bring in Mark from the Misery Hunters podcast. Mark, I suppose it says something about Scottish football, doesn't it, that we started with the people who are moaning, the people who are unhappy at the weekend. But I asked Liam, the Hearts fan, how big a disaster it was to not be in the top six. So to you, how big an achievement was it?
It was incredible, and you know, you mentioned starting with the folk that moan. You've arrived at the name of our podcast, so
that's true.
That's very much what we normally revel in, so this is all reasonably uncharted territory. Listening to Liam's call was really interesting. You know, at the heart of what he's saying, you know, £70 million spent badly and 15,000 unhappy season ticket holders and all the rest of it. So it runs probably at the opposite end of that spectrum just now, where, you know, a club of modest income, of modest catchment, given how close we are to Glasgow and all the rest of it. But it just feels like since Stephen Robinson arrived at the club, what we've brought in, we've spent really sensibly, we've spent, you know, pragmatically, and I think it was just joy and really surround the stands on Saturday to see us avoid what looks like a really, really messy bottom six. I think that's almost the more impressive bit than the chance of maybe getting slightly further up the table.
Yeah, we did say that this year actually it became about guaranteeing that you're not dragged in as much as anything. To describe the scenes then, the moment, because it was great for us. It was, you know, we could almost, I think we went Fir Park first and you could just hear the rage and the boos, and then the full time whistle went Paisley and it sounded so different. It must have been special.
To quote Stephen Thompson, after the last time, well, one of the last times we humiliated Hearts in the League Cup final in 2013, it was cathartic. It was just a beautiful way to spend an afternoon. I think, you know, we're 9 points behind Aberdeen in fifth, but we're, 7 points ahead of Dundee in 11th. I think the next 5-6 weeks of all of our lives could have been very, very different. Tracing up to Dingwall and wherever else, and just hoping that you can see it in games which this season we've found more complicated. Just the emotion let out around the park on Saturday was, you know, something special to be a part of, and you know, the celebration police have been out, they always are about it being enjoyed too much. But I don't think any fan of a club like St Mirren should ever have to apologise for making, you know, the very most out of days like that. Rob said it, we waited 4 decades to finish in the top half of the top flight again, and we've now done it 3 times running.
So I agree with that. Anything you've got to celebrate should be,
of course,
a good thing.
Because the bad times will find you, and there's no doubt about that. But Mark, you've got Rangers at your place, first game after the split, and you beat Rangers at your place during the season. What's happened now has been built on results like that, and your performances against Celtic the last time they were at your stadium. I mean, it was a terrific match, good goals and real outstanding performances. So
beat Rangers at Ibrox as well.
Yeah,
they will double.
So you're not there as a lottery win.
No, not at all. And I think, you know, our better results this season have come against teams that have finished in the top half. We've beat Hibs, Aberdeen and Rangers home and away this year, so I think there's every reason to go into that probably with a little bit more optimism than a tip to Dingwall and Dundee and Perth might have brought. And you know, the party line out of the club, and I think it's worth mentioning, has been that, you know, yes, the first time we got in was the first time in so long, and that was special. And last year was Europe for the first time since after the cup win in 87, and that was special to get there. This season, with the challenges that the club's had off the park, where I think they've made community first decisions instead of, you know, team first decisions, and I'm proud of them for for doing so, to cope with the injuries they've had in key positions, to still get over the line at, you know, in front of teams like Hearts, who, you know, have algorithms and all sorts of things. I think you've got a laptop between us, so to get in front of that is something I'm very proud of.
They'd be better with players than algorithms.
It's a fair point Mark makes. Who could have foreseen signing three players who have various brushes with the law and then have to leave? It just, you know, ridiculous when you think about the chances of that. We won't necessarily dwell on the details, but Mark, it just feels like you've got a good thing going. Now I appreciate that is kind of, it all falls into line a bit when you win football games, but you know, there's clearly a really strong connection there. The crowds are good. Even going, you know, you've cut the away allocations for the so-called big teams because you want to look after yourselves first, and that's working, and the crowds are up, and you're top six again. Recruitment's good. You know, it just feels like everything's ticking along nicely.
It's all really joined up. It's, you know, it's what I said at the start. It's, you know, accepting that you're not going to have the same money as Hibs, Aberdeen, Hearts and the others, but if you're careful about what you're doing and you back it, then, and everyone's together with that, then you get results. That the job that Keith Lasley's doing in the back office, Stephen Robinson and Martin Follows are head of recruitment, they really are kind of making the most of every
What about this man Robinson then? He said it was the highlight of his career so far, you know, and he was clearly ecstatic after the game. Just how good is he for you?
You know, you mentioned about the kind of bad times finding us again. You know, I've watched us go to Brechin. I've watched us go to Falkirk on a Wednesday night, 10 points in adrift at the bottom of the second tier. I've been in home crowds where, you know, we're selling, you know, 1,000 odd season tickets and losing 3-0 to Queen of the South, and you're thinking, where's this going? And now we've got one thing that we've just never had in my time of following someone, which is consistency. We are on the right side of narrow victories far more often than we're on the wrong side. And I think you can't put it all at the feet of one person, but I think what Stephen Robinson's done is really just brought everyone together. That the dressing room is so united. There's such a nice vibe coming out of the club just now. It's a really likeable bunch of the players who seem to really embrace being part of a kind of community, fan-owned club. And yeah, it's all good news just now.
You won't be bothered, I don't think, because you want them to hang around. But do you think the manager gets the sort of attention he deserves from other clubs? What is that? You know, why is that? Because it's not like this is the first time he's done this at St Mirren. We're talking three consecutive top six finishes, as we've said, and then also at Motherwell. He took Motherwell to two cup finals in the same season, had them finishing up the table, built a team which was very big and direct and physical, and then had to rebuild it again and brought through, you know, players like David Turnbull and so on, and played a completely different way. Is he getting that recognition he deserves?
I think selfishly he gets exactly the amount of recognition and attention that I want. I think the rest of the division is littered with clubs who think that they're better than hiring a manager like Robinson, and who would undoubtedly be in better positions if they had, whereas we are the lucky ones that got him, that backed him, you know, that gave him somewhere to really feel secure and to have that backing from, you know, from boardroom to pitch, and we're reaping the rewards of that. And I hope he stays for a very, very long time. I would understand completely if something glamorous came his way. You know, I think the Northern Irish job is the one that's always been the worry. I think he would take that in a heartbeat if it ever came his way. We just need to hope that we've got him in a paper postcode for as long as we can.
Well, I was speaking about him on Saturday, Mark, and sorry to put it bluntly to you, mate, you might not want to hear this, but, you know, I've been astonished that he hasn't been linked with bigger jobs, and I think it's only a matter of time. I think, you know, some jobs will come up this summer that clubs should be definitely looking at him. Like you said there, you know, what he's worked with the budget and had to deal with. Also his assistant manager leaving and then bringing in Kurzo, you know, making him step up to assistant manager, but constantly unearthing players. You know, he's obviously got a knack for it. I know, you know, you've got people behind the scenes as well that help with that. But his coaching as well, he always sets you guys up in a good way, play the best football that you possibly can. But he's not one that, you know, passes for passing's sake. He works with the players he has, he gets the best out of those players. And, you know, you always seem to be bringing in players, and Olisanya, I think, will be the next one that will leave this summer. But, you know, gives them an opportunity. They do well for the football club, and then he sends them on their way. So, you know, he's massively liked. My management skills are meant to be really, really high, but also good on the grass. So, yeah, mate, I think you should enjoy him while he's still there.
Well, on that note, you've just ruined Mark's night. But thank you very much to Mark. That was a joy, Mark. Hope you enjoyed your weekend.
Certainly did.
Take care, Mark, mate. From the Misery Hunters podcast, despite the name. Happy, obviously, with St Mirren's position. How could you not be? Stephen Robinson says securing it for the third season in a row is his biggest achievement so far.
It's a fantastic culmination of a season's hard work to hit our achievement. And to do it 3 years in a row is an incredible achievement for this football club. This is my biggest achievement. And people go, oh, no, you got the cup finals and, you know, you got to Europe and what have you. The problems faced were, I've never dealt with any, you know, they don't teach you this in the pro licence. Experience has helped me. My staff around me have been fantastic in helping me. My wife's been fantastic in keeping me level-headed. Nothing's gone our way this season. Nothing's failed for us. We've had to fight and scrap for everything and to come out with a top six berth. And, yeah, it's going to be a tough, tough task now to chase Europe. We've done the United winning, but we'll give it a go.
You two made a start on the full-time teaser. So after Rory McIlroy's Grand Slam win, so he's now won four of golf's majors, can you name the last six Northern Irishmen who've got four or more caps and four or more appearances for either Old Firm side?
Niall McGinn.
Why is he not on the list? He really should be on that list. What's happened here? For goodness sake, Paul and Cambus Lang has sent it, and I'll just stick him on the list.
Johnny Hayes?
No.
David Healy?
No.
Jordan Jones?
Yes.
New Lennon?
Well, it's the last six. Sorry, it's just the last six. That's why. The last six. It's not any six. So that would... Who did you say first?
Niall McGinn.
Yeah, he'll be too far back. Apologies. Right, there, so sorry, Paul and Cambus Lang. I muddied your good name.
So Johnny Hayes.
No, not Johnny Hayes. Just Jordan Jones is the, is the only right one so far.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Neil Lennon?
No, not in the last six.
McCausland?
Yes. He's got four Northern Ireland caps. Okay, we'll leave you there. Some thinking time. Vincent's on. How are you, Vincent?
Good evening.
What made you call tonight?
I'm on about Brendan Rodgers' statement about Greg Taylor being immense.
Mm-hmm.
I think he should have been asking Greg Taylor where he was when the Kilmarnock boy scored his goal.
That's harsh, Hugh, is it not? A cross floats in?
No, no. Hugh.
Yeah.
You'll know what I'm speaking about. Where would Jim Kennedy or Tommy Gemmell have been?
Oh, my goodness. Jim Kennedy, you're back now. But listen, the Prezi would have been the same as Greg Taylor. He'd have run round him and crossed it.
Greg Taylor didn't do anything wrong for that
goal. No, Sinisalo, you could look at Sinisalo and wonder whether his positioning was correct and, you know, whether he was confused by was it a cross or was it an attempt at goal. It doesn't matter. Sinisalo looked bad. I think, Vincent, with the greatest respect, that's not a fair allegation to make against Greg Taylor, someone who'd been terrific at Celtic and by the manager's own admission was man of the match on Saturday. You know, these things, I mean, I can't believe that out of a 5-1 win, that's what you've done. You've picked on Greg Taylor. Come on, Vincent.
You know as well as me, he wouldn't have run around Jim Kennedy.
Oh.
He'd have been out in the old track.
We've gone back in time here. Hang on, what's going on?
Jim Kennedy, let me put you right. Jim Kennedy played for Celtic in the early 1960s.
Oh,
he was called the Prezi because John F. Kennedy was the president of the United States. And
right.
Jim Kennedy was the Prezi.
That might just sum up the high standards we've got. Brendan Rodgers says he's amazing. And Vincent goes, no, because he should have stopped that cross that ended up luckily floating over Sinisalo's head and into the back of the net.
Yeah, as Hugh said there, for me, Sinisalo, I said it on Saturday, should have moved his feet. He didn't move his feet. It was a lucky cross that ends up in the back of the net. That's not on Greg Taylor. So, Vincent, are you saying that Greg Taylor didn't play well?
Exactly. Greg Taylor's supposed to be a left back. Greg Taylor's too small and stature to be a Celtic left back. He can't jump. He can't tackle. He's more at inside right and up the front than he is at left back.
Inside right what?
I don't think Vincent's a fan. I don't think he wants to see him extend his contract.
How tall was Danny McGrain, Vincent?
Danny McGrain was about 5'7".
Wasn't a bad player.
He was a great player.
I don't think height comes into it somehow.
Messi's not bad.
Greg Taylor, it does.
Oh, this is getting out of hand. Because even if we think Greg Taylor's been unfairly treated, maybe we shouldn't put him in Danny McGrain or Lionel Messi's bracket. That might be stretching it a bit either way. But anyway,
do you need a break?
I think so.
Yeah,
I think we need a break.
Cheers, Vincent.
01419511025. We'll be back with more fun after these.
Tackle the headlines. 01419511025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
That's us on the home straight with Hugh Keevans and Marvin Bartley. But still time to squeeze in a call if there's something you just need to get off your chest. Just a quick one before we do move on. To mark your card, we've teamed up with Glasgow Subway, and all this week on Bowie at Breakfast, we're giving you the chance to win as we play Round and Round. See what we've done there?
Yeah.
Here's one for you, Mr. Adopted Scott, post 2015. Have you ever been on the Glasgow Subway?
No.
Didn't think you would have seen. There we go. Hugh could take you down for a loop.
I thought he meant Subway.
No.
You thought it was
sandwich.
A sandwich. Yeah. It's what you chaps call the tube.
The tube, oh, okay.
And you're sitting next to the specky tube, which is good. So anyway, if you make it on air, you've got the chance to jump on board the Glasgow Subway and stop at a certain category. You then have to answer as many questions as you can relating to that category before the subway doors shut. So you're trying to win cash towards a family day out. Basically, just tune in to Bowie at Breakfast all this week to win. And it's all thanks to our friends at Glasgow Subway. Don't miss their Round and Round Family Fun Day this Saturday, 12 to 4. Loads of free activities for all ages. So fun for the whole family. 01419511025. On the teaser, Paul and Cambus Lang says, after Rory McIlroy's Grand Slam win, did you stay up all night?
The whole lot. And I mean this, it's not Gordon Dale you're talking to here. I watched Aberdeen Rangers, Newcastle Man U, and then Rory teeing off, and I was still there with him at 12:30 when he broke down and wept.
All of it in its entirety?
The lot.
Good on you.
My wife did say, you're only staying up to have more red wine.
But well, I did a dip out. I didn't watch Man United. I couldn't put myself through that.
I tell you what, if Rangers
but
get
I came
them,
back.
If Rangers get Man U in the Europa League, they'll beat them home and away. They are awful.
I saw bits of it. It was on, but you know, not everyone's a man of leisure like you on a Sunday. Come on, you're in a big golf household. You must have stayed up to watch it.
Do you know what I did? I watched bits and pieces. Ailey was actually at her parents' house, and then she called and said, are you watching the golf? And I was like, no. And then she said, told me to put it on. So I actually enjoyed it.
Oh, good.
But yeah, when it went to the playoffs, actually, I was like, not sure what's going to happen.
You turned off the playoff?
No, I carried on watching it. But do you know what? I was actually delighted it was just one hole, because I thought they were going to play like three holes or something like that. I was too tired. So one hole. Saw him celebrate.
Justin Rose's dignity afterwards, having lost him, it was a big blow, because he came out of nowhere, Justin Rose. You could learn from his dignity.
They were mates, though, weren't they? I would have just walked off. Honestly, if he'd have put that, I would have just walked off. Like, well done, mate. Like, whatever.
Sportsman of the year, you.
Yeah.
Did you get any more on the teaser? So after Rory McIlroy's Grand Slam win, who's won the four majors, can you name the last six Northern Irishmen who've got four or more caps and four or more appearances for either Old Firm side? I did not expect you to get Jordan Jones first, and then Ross McCausland.
Stephen Davis.
Yeah, just 140 odd caps for him.
I will, yeah.
He was saving that one for me. What was the... Is one of them a winger? What was the name that played at Celtic?
No.
Unbelievable talent, no?
No.
Who am I thinking of though? Played for Barnsley as well. McCourt? Was it McCourt?
Oh, Paddy McCourt.
Yeah.
All right, no.
He was a player.
Nope.
I think Paddy was from...
No, it's just this last six, remember, as well, so...
Are they all Rangers players, or...?
One Celtic, two Rangers. One, you'll forget, played for Rangers, possibly. The other had a well-known Rangers career and played for another team in Scotland.
Lafferty?
Yes.
Oh, I don't know how I got...
Okay, two to get. Let's go to Stephen in Springboy. Hi, Stephen.
Hi, how you doing?
How are you, more importantly? We're fine.
I'm fine. I would just like to ask you a question, right? I was trying to get through it the weekend, and it kept going on about the new people coming into Rangers, the 49ers or whatever they're called.
Uh-huh.
And Hugh says, when the 49ers come in, it'll be this and it'll be that and whatever. What does he know different from everybody else? Because there's nobody else printing this or that or whatever. It's only you that's coming out with it.
What did I say specifically that you take issue with?
You were saying that when the 49ers come in, it'll be this and it'll be that. No, the 49ers. What's the guy's name?
Andrew Kavanagh. Andrew Kavanagh.
Yeah, him. Aye. Right. When him and his team come in, they'll be doing this and they'll be doing that or whatever. Blah, blah, blah. But you don't think Barry Ferguson will be there? I don't care if he's there or not, to be honest.
Right? I never mentioned Barry Ferguson. I can tell you exactly what I said, because it was in the answer.
Let me finish.
I don't want to know where Stephen's going with this, actually, Hugh. Let's see. So what's Hugh said wrong?
Right. I just want to know, how does Hugh know that the 49ers are definitely coming in and nobody else knows?
What do you mean nobody else? It's not only Hugh that's talking about Rangers takeover.
Who else definitely knows that they're coming in?
That's a different question to who else is talking about it. Of course nobody knows anything for definite, Stephen, but if you know, there's
Andrew Kavanagh was in Glasgow last week
for the second time.
Yeah. And to say who else has been saying this, I take it you haven't bought a newspaper since 2000. It's been all over the newspapers. It was a colleague of mine, Keith Jackson, who broke the story. And what I said on Saturday was that in response to a caller who said that Rangers should approach Mikel Arteta to be the manager. And I said, yeah, well, if you heard the programme, you'll have heard that.
Are you having a laugh?
No, Stephen, I don't think you're listening to me. I said on Saturday's programme, in response to a caller who called in and said that Rangers should approach Mikel Arteta. Are you with me so far, Stephen? Are you coming down the road with me? Good man. And I said in response to the caller, there's a misapprehension that 49ers Enterprises and Andrew Kavanagh will come in and throw hundreds of millions of pounds at Rangers. That will not happen. It's not allowed to happen under financial fair play.
I know that.
And there was no prospect whatsoever of a manager like Mikel Arteta taking the job, because why would a man who just beaten Real Madrid 3-0 and was high up in the Champions League, why would he come to Scotland to play Falkirk? And
can I fast forward this a bit, Stephen? Ultimately, so you do you not think the takeover will happen? Is that where we're going with this?
That's what I'm getting at. Yes, I don't think it's going to happen.
Right.
But Hugh seems to think it is definitely happening because he spoke to certain people and his paper writes certain things.
Why do you not think it's going to happen?
Why do you not think it'll happen?
Because I just think it's a load of you know what sort of thing. Mm-hmm. And I just don't believe it for a minute, to be honest.
But not really based on anything, though.
No. It's a story. It's grey legs now. It's arms and legs and whatever. And I just, honest to God,
see the order that it does come in, though, Stephen. Right? See the order that it comes in, where story broken in newspaper, then every other media outlet sort of picks up on it, starts talking about it. Rangers don't deny it. 49ers Enterprises don't deny it. And then Andrew Kavanagh start turning up at games. Do you not think it kind of looks more likely than not?
No. And what does that mean?
I said more likely than not.
No. I just don't. The Rangers.
Why do you think Andrew Kavanagh started going to games at Ibrox?
All right. There might be interest there somewhere along the line, but no as much as what people are coming out there.
And how do you know that? You've accused me of not knowing what's going on. How do you know this?
See, for what it's worth, Stephen might be right.
Right. Wait a minute, Hugh. You hear stories after certain people. I hear stories after certain people. Is that correct?
Who told you?
What stories have you heard, though?
Hugh, wait a minute. You get paid for putting headlines in papers. I don't. I tell my pals. Right. So your stories are the same as mine. Right. We all hear stories, we all add on wee bits about here, this, that and the next thing. You sell papers, you get paid to do that. Good luck to you for doing that, right? All I'm saying is, I hear stories, you hear stories. You're saying that you are more or less definite that they are taking their Rangers. You can't actually say that when you haven't got any proof about it.
I'll take your call when it happens, and I hope that you will be man enough to call in when this takes place. Thank you and goodbye.
Yeah, we'll need to pick up some other time.
Only Stephen.
Anyway, the show has ended pretty much on that note. We're almost out of time. Let's quickly check up on the teaser. Can you name the last six Northern Irishmen who've got four or more caps and four or more appearances for either Old Firm side? Ross McCausland, Steve Davis, Jordan Jones, Kyle Lafferty. Two to get.
Stephen's throwing me, man.
One has got eight caps, played for Celtic only a handful of times.
Eight caps.
What does Gordon DL say about the full time teaser? There's always a
goalkeeper.
Oh, Conor Hazard.
Yes.
Oh, you.
And the one that you've forgotten about, Marvin, he's got 80 caps, this guy, but you just forgot that he came to Rangers. It was not a particularly long or memorable spell, but had a long career down the road, I think West Brom mostly. Defender.
Oh, wow. Couldn't move.
Oh, well, you said, what was his name? I wouldn't possibly put my name to that.
Was his name Hill?
No. Oh, you're thinking of Clint Hill. No.
Oh, what is his name? I know. I can picture him.
His name is Gareth McCauley.
Yeah. Oof. Very stiff.
For goodness sake, character assassination on here. Thank you to Marvin Bartley and Hugh Keevans, and thank you for all your calls. A real wide variety of topics covered this evening, which is always good fun. We are back tomorrow from 6 o'clock. Make sure you join us and enjoy the rest of your Monday.